Well, good morning, Stirling. It's a joy to be here in your midst on this lovely sunny day that God has given to us. If you would like to have a copy of God's written word and check out these things that we are speaking of, the Word of God, John's Gospel, I have Bibles, New Testaments. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Freely offered to you, freely given, freely received. No cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. If you have a question, I don't have the answer to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do believe I have the answer to the most important question, and that is how does a man find a way to life? That is to rightness with God. If you're in trouble for any reason whatsoever, would like somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do so. So if you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one, gladly placed into your hands. We're here today to testify to the love that God has for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, God's gift to the world, Stirling being part of the world. We're here to tell you God loves you. Christ is dead for your sins, and He's alive from the dead forevermore to justify, that is, to make you right with God. But of course, the question remains as to what you're going to do about that good news. Will you receive it? Will you believe? The Bible goes on to say that whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, that is, but have everlasting life. For the want of believing, that's what Jesus tells you to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only believe, He says. Only believe. Only believe. That's all. Trust, confidence in the Son of God, in His person, and that which He has accomplished in His dying, His living, His dying, and His rising again from the dead, in order that a sinner like you and I, that we might have eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The immensity of God's love, think on it, Stirling, please. Think that the one thing that, well, that I would require of you this morning, that you would even think, begin to think. Come now and let us reason together. Think together, says God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Think on the love of God, the immensity of God's love for the world, of humanity, in its rebellion against God, contrary to God in our nature, contrary to God in our practice, every which way, up one side and down the other. And of course, all the brokenness, the violence, all the upset, even in creation, earthquake, famine, wars and rumors of wars, violence and destruction, destroying one another. There's a sense in which I might say, you know, that God would not need to judge us, just leave us to our own devices. We would destroy one another, would we not, if God just simply let us be. But in the immensity of His love, out of His good pleasure, not because of any compulsion on God's part to do anything to help, to assist any one of us, but simply and only out of His good pleasure, out of His heart of love, God has provided us with a way back from the dark path of sin. And that provision, that wonderful provision, His own Son, His only begotten Son, sent into the world, a gift to the world, simply and only to be received. A hand of faith, reaching out and receiving the love of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Take, says God. Receive, says God. Believe, says God. And salvation, reconciliation to your Maker. The knowledge, the knowing, the experiencing, that is, of the great love of God in Jesus Christ that He has. Today, even for stumbling sinners, today, He came to His own, the Bible says, His own people, that is, but they did not receive Him. They rejected Him. They scorned Him, despised Him, rejected Him. But to them that did receive Him, to those that believed on His name, He gave the right, He gave the authority, He gave the power to become children of God. That's how you join God's family. That's how you enter into the kingdom of God, in the way of receiving, in the way of believing. That moment that a sinner truly believes, from God a pardon receives, and is adopted into the family of God, a child of God for time and for eternity, never to be separated from the love of God ever again. This is God's provision, and this is God's provision offered to you today, set before you today, and yours to receive, in hearing the good news, in hearing the gospel, in hearing of the immensity of God's love, and simply receiving yours. You have the justification. You have the warrant to believe in hearing the gospel. You had no excuse before I came, but you've even less excuse now, hearing the good news, hearing of God's love, hearing of God's desire for your salvation. Were you to reject, refuse, spurn the offer of God's salvation, what would the end of you be? Oh, that men would think of their latter end. God says in His Word, in the Bible, maybe young now, full of years, maybe many years to go, I hope so. I hope God gives you an abundance of years and fruitfulness of life, but the end must come. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, well, that's not the finish, that's not the end. And why God would have you to think on your latter end? Because life, as you know it now, is not just going to go on forevermore. The end will come, that day will come, when you'll breathe your last and go out of this world into eternity. A lost one, a hellish hovel, or a heavenly mansion. What will it be? We set before you the way of life and death. Eternal, everlasting life. Whoever believes on the Son of God, has life, has eternal life, has everlasting life. For whoever believes on the Son shall not perish in their sin, be lost forever, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Like to have a copy of God's Word, as I say, His written Word, offered to you, a Bible, a New Testament, Gospel of John offered to you. Read, study, digest, meditate upon these things, see that they are so. Don't just take my word for it. Certainly don't take the word of the one-star society along there. Don't take their word for these things. Take the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate upon it. The Son of God, the lovely, lovely Jesus, whom I come to lift up before you here today, that you might admire Him, that you might adore Him, that you might love Him, and that you might receive Him, that you might believe, that you might trust in Him. Because that's the way to life. That's the way to salvation. That's the way to forgiveness. That's the way to all the blessings of God. Because without Jesus, without my Jesus, without the Jesus of the Bible, without the Son of God, there is no going. There is no life. There's no life apart from God. Just a visible earthly existence, that's all. No, in order to have life and to enter into life, you must come through Jesus. Of course, there are many people who want the blessings of God. They want the benefits that God offers. The peace, the love, the joy, the happiness. Oh, they want all the benefits, but they don't want the way of getting them. The only way you get them, you see, is through Jesus. Not through the Watchtower Society, not through some world religion, but through Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died on a cross, who suffered and bled and died, and rose again from the dead in order that a sinner like you and I might be reconciled to God, know eternal life, and know all the blessings and the love that God has for sinful men and women, rebels before Him today, even here in the town of Stirling. So be blessed, Stirling, be blessed. Be blessed, not here to judge you, not here to condemn you. That's not my remit. Not at all. Jesus Himself said, I did not come to judge. I did not come to condemn. I came to save, He said. Oh, sin comes to destroy, kill and destroy. Yes, the devil comes to kill and destroy. Religion comes to kill and destroy. But Jesus, the person of God's Son, He comes to heal and He comes to save. Salvation is what the Bible's about. I know men take the Bible and they've devised religions out of it. They take it and they distort it and they make it say what it never even intended to say. It's the testimony. It's all about Jesus. These are they which testify of me, says Jesus. Jesus is all over the Bible, like a rash, you might say. He's on every page. He's the one whom the Bible's about. He's the promise of God. My Son, for God so loved the world that He gave. Why? Because God's a giving God. He loves to give. And He's given the ultimate gift in His Son Jesus. That in taking, simply receiving the gift, Jesus, He's the prize. He's the gift, He's the salvation, He's the life, He's everything. Without Him, without Jesus, you have nothing and you get nothing. You simply receive my gift, says God, and I give you all the rest. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Because once you have the kingdom of God, once you have Jesus, once you have His righteousness, you're good to go, you're right with God. And the blessings begin to flow into your life, into your very soul. And the pleasures, I tell you, that God has for you in His lovely, lovely Son. Oh, take a copy of God's Word. Read for yourself, please. See the beauty of Jesus. I tell you, He's lovely. Sinners are brought to Him. Men bring sinners to Him in condemnation, expecting Him to destroy them or such like thing. What does He do? Jesus, He forgives them. He tells them, go and sin no more. Oh, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. Read what Jesus said. Read what Jesus did. All the kinds and stripes of sinners, the worst and the best, the ugliest, all the awfulest of sinners, come to Jesus and they get even more than they come for. Some come for healing and they get everlasting life. Come to Jesus. Come to Him today. Put your trust in Him. He's worthy, I tell you, of all your confidence. He's worthy of your adoration. He's worthy of your full attention. So like I say, you want a copy of God's Word? Come and ask me for one. Gladly placed into your hands. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply in for the taking. So God's Word for you here today. Jesus, he says, is written in the prophets. That's the Old Testament. And of course, as you read the Old Testament, where you do that is, you would find that the majority, I would say about 95% of everything prophesied in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. They're the prophets. Thousands of years before Jesus came, took our flesh, became one of us, a man. It was prophesied in the Old Testament by those prophets. How he would come, how he would be born of the virgin, and why he would come, and what he would do it, why he would do it, how he would come and live that blameless life, and how he would die on a cross. It's all there, the Old Testament. How he would die on a cross, how he would shed his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there can't be any forgiveness of sin. There has to be a sacrifice, but there has to be a blood sacrifice. But not just the blood of a man, that's not enough. There were thousands of men who were nailed to Roman crosses back then. But it was divine blood that was shed on that cross, that center cross, the blood of Jesus. That's what makes it effective. That's why you see it can wash and make you clean. That's why it can remove the sin. And that's why it can break the power of the sin. Whatever the sin might be, whatever the addiction, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, the lying, the coveting, the immorality, whatever it might be. Oh, and the wonder-working power in that divine blood that Jesus shed on that cross to cancel, to break the power of sin, and to set the sinner free. But it was all predicted, it was all prophesied in the Old Testament of the Bible. Many, many hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus was born in that stable, in that manger, all predicted, and all come to pass. Well, the most of it at least anyway. So he says it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. You see, my friend, the person who gets right with God is a person who has good hearing. They hear the voice of God. If you don't, if you can't, well, that means there's something wrong with your hearing. But you see, here's the problem. We all of us, yourself, myself included, we are the Bible, God says, his opinion, not mine. Got an argument, take it to him. And God says, we all of us, we are natural born sinners. We are conceived in sin, we are born in sin, we live and die in sin, but for the grace and love of God coming to us and changing our natures, and then changing, of course, our hearts and changing our practice as well. But you see, one of the consequences of us being conceived in sin and born in sin, we come into the world stone deaf. No, I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. Jesus said on one occasion, my sheep, not the goats. The goats, he says, they don't hear my voice. They can't hear my voice. They're stone deaf to the voice of God. They can't hear. But my sheep, he says, they hear my voice. Not just the voice of a prophet, not just the voice of a preacher. They hear the voice of God. They hear the voice of the Savior. They hear the voice of Jesus. They hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. My sheep, he says. Because not everybody's a sheep. In the world of humanity, you see, there are goats and sheep, says Jesus. God, from before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, has chosen a people out of humanity. Not everyone. God has chosen Himself a people that He will save and gather to Himself. I do hope, Sterling Sinners, I do hope that you're one of them. You might ask the question, you would say, well, how do I know if I'm a sheep or a goat? Well, how's your hearing? You hear the word of God. You hear the words of Jesus. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear the voice of the Savior? Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Or are you just simply hearing the voice of a man? But those who come to Jesus, those whom He saves, those whom He gives eternal life to, those whom He forgives and pardons, those who restores, reconciles to God, they hear the voice of God. So how's your hearing, Sterling? How's your hearing? Do you have the desire to hear? Will you listen? Will you stop and hearken to what God has to say, to His Word? Maybe perhaps the reason why you pass by that you don't stop and listen is one, your hearing's defective. You're still in that natural state and condition in which you were conceived and born. That hasn't changed. That hasn't altered. But if God has altered it, if God has come to you in grace, if God is drawing you to His Son, well then your hearing will have begun to repair. And you'll have not only the ability to hear the voice of the Savior, the Good Shepherd, but you'll even have the desire to hear His voice. Because unless you hear, Jesus says His own words, not mine, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to Me. So, if you haven't heard His voice, if you haven't heard His call, then that may be because you're still deaf, spiritually deaf, not able to hear the voice of God, the voice of the Savior. But Jesus calls you. He calls you today. He's calling you through His servant, bringing the Word of God to you here today, calling you apart. Calling you to Himself, calling you out of sin, calling you out of your own nature, calling, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the call, calling you away from sin, calling you away from all that you know to be sin. Calling you out of the darkness of sin, calling you out of this sin-cursed world, calling you into the kingdom of God. Do you hear His gentle voice calling you? His voice is gentle. You would recognize it. If God's awakened your hearing, oh, you would recognize His voice. It's gentle. It's sweet. It's not harsh. It's not judgmental, it's not condemnatory. Calling you out of and away from that which is harmful, destructive. Calling you out of your sin, out of those sin natures, calling you into the kingdom of God. But hearing, that's the first step. That's why we're here. How can they hear without a preacher, the Bible says? And how can the preacher come unless he be sent? Sent by God, called of God, appointed of God, and sent by God to bring the gospel, not just to Sterling, into all the world, says God. And tell them about My love. Tell them about My Son. Tell them about the Good Shepherd. Tell them about His call, His sweet, gentle call, calling you apart, calling the voice of love, calling you. He loves you. He died for you. He's done the hard bit. He's done the difficult bit. He's done the suffering. He's done the dying. He's taken the hell. He's taken the forsakenness. And all that's left to you is to believe. Only believe is to trust and to put your confidence in His voice. Hear His voice. Listen to His voice. Hearken to His call. Well, you might say, well, when you're God, Mr. Preacher, I won't be able to hear anything. How will I hear His voice then? After you've gone back to Glasgow. Well, you read the Bible. You read the Word of God that I'm offering to you. You read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you keep reading it. Listening to His voice on the pages of Scripture, the Word of God, until you can hear clearly and distinctly, until He calls you by your name. That's the call of Jesus. He calls, and He'll call you individually. He'll call you by name. He'll call you gently. He'll woo you. He'll win you. He'll draw you into the arms of His Father and into the love of God. But you must hear. You must hear, Sterling. Pray that God mends your hearing. Pray that God gives you ears to hear. To hear the voice. Not the voice of the preacher, the voice of the Savior. To hear the voice of love, calling you apart, calling you to repentance, calling you to renewal, restoration, reconciliation, calling you to love, calling you to your Maker. But you must hear. You must hear. If you haven't heard the voice of the Savior, if you haven't heard the voice of God, if you're not taught of God, the Savior says, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. You won't come to Jesus unless you hear the voice of the Father calling you. You won't come to Jesus. Doesn't matter how loud I speak. Doesn't matter how long I speak. Doesn't matter who the proclaimer might be who brings the Word of God to you. If you don't hear the voice of the Father, you'll never come to Jesus. He must call you. He must cause you. He must make you by His grace. He must mend your hearing. He must give you ears to hear. Or else, you'll never, never come to Him. So pray God to fix your hearing. Cause God to speak in a way that you will hear His voice so that you can come to Jesus and so that you can be wholly mended, fixed for time and for eternity, and enter into the kingdom of God's love, favor, pleasure, goodness, kindness, and mercy, and forgiveness, and all the blessings that God has for a man or a woman in coming to Jesus. But you can't come to Him. You'll never come to Him until you hear the voice of the Father calling you. Because every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. But in hearing the voice of the Father, in hearing, that's not enough. You've got to become a doer of the Word also. Not just hearing, that's not enough. Many people hear the call. Many people hear the voice. Hear the voice of the Savior through the preaching of His Word. They hear, but they don't learn. Many of us are educated in the education system. But how much of it do we actually learn? And how much of it do we put into practice? Some of us, not very much. But you see, it's not just hearing. It's learning of God. God must be your teacher. And how would God teach you? God would teach you from His Word. He would teach you His commandments. He would teach you how that you've broken them all. And how that makes you a sinner, because some of you would protest and say that you're not sinners. You would say that you're good people. You would say that you've done good. You would say that you've never done anything wrong. I hear that cry constantly. But you see, if God was to love you, if God was to teach you, well, the first thing He would do is teach you what kind of a sinner you are. How that is that you've broken every one of His commandments. He would teach you, for instance, that there's none good, and there's none who does good, that you're not a good person. In fact, a lot worse than most of us think ourselves to be. But He would do so. He would do so not to destroy you. Not to destroy you. He would do so in order for you to see that you need His Son. You see, His commandments, His law, was never given to mend you. His law was never given. It was given to educate you. It was given to learn you. It was given to teach you. It was given to be a schoolmaster. But to teach you what kind of a sinner it is that you are. And how that you need Jesus. How that you need His Son. So you see, the man, the woman who has heard the voice of God, the man, the woman who has learned of God, who has been taught of God, is a person who no longer says, who no longer protests, who no longer says, I'm not a sinner, I've never done anything wrong. The person who has learned of God is a person who now realizes that they've got a depth of sin, that they've got a depth of depravity that they never knew before that they had. It shocks them to the very core of their being. How sinful they are. How wretched they are. How naked they are before a holy and righteous God and a loving God and a loving Father. They've come to realize, because God has led them, because God has taught them what kind of sinners they are. And they begin to realize that they've sinned not just against God's law, they've sinned against God's love. They've trampled all over God's love, because the sum of God's law, you see, those commandments is love. To love God and to love your neighbor, that's the sum of God's commandments. And so you come to that realization that you've sinned against the law of God, you've sinned against the love of God, you sinned against your Maker. You sinned against the ultimate of love. You trampled His love underfoot. And so you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And so when He teaches you, when you hear His voice, when your hearing is repaired by grace, and you begin to hear His voice, and He begins to teach you, He begins to learn you, He begins to educate you, and you cry out. You see that you're lost. You see that you're alienated from God. You see that you're separated from His love. You see that you're undone, that you're ruined. And so out comes the cry from your heart. You say, what must I do then to be saved? And then the prophet tells you. The prophet answers your question. He says, behold, see, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the gift of God. The gift of God, you see, then, and only then can you come to me, says Jesus. Having heard the voice of God, taught of God, learned of God, then you're ready. Then you can come to me, says Jesus. But not until. But of course you can hear, and you can learn, and you can be taught the kind of sinner it is you are, but you still got to come to Jesus. Because if you don't come to Him, you can't be saved. And you can come to Him because that's what He bids you to do. On the authority of His Word, He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace with God, reconciled to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. You are in Jesus for coming to Jesus, but you must come to Him. You must come to Him. Stay away from Him. You can hear. You can learn. You can know about the Bible. You can know about the commandments. You know about your sin. You can know all these things. You can be a child of God. Learn of these things. But still not come to Jesus. As long as you stay away from Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of the Watchtower Society, not the Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of Rome, the Jesus of the Bible, that Jesus only. He who says, I am the way, the truth and the life, the way back to God. No man comes to the Father but except through me, Jesus says. Neither is there salvation in any other name under the whole, the entire canopy of heaven, whereby you must be saved only in coming to Jesus, that name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he was sent for. That's what he lived for. That's what he died for. That's what he rose again from the dead for. And that's what he's alive forevermore now for. Saving sinners. Reconciling them to God. Those who come to him. Those who come to Jesus. But you must come to him. Stay away. No salvation. No blessing. No life. No forgiveness. No kingdom of God. You must come to him. Come unto me, he said. All you that labor and are heavy laden, laden with sin, laden with guilt, laden with shame, laden with blame, come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus, you may and you must, it's imperative. I plead with you, sterling sinners, come to him. You may, you must, because there's no life, there's no heaven. I tell you, there's no forgiveness. There's no pardon for your sins. You must come to him, and you must come to him soon, quickly. Know not the time, the day. Your time is in God's hands, not yours. His time to call you out of this world. His timing, not yours. Young or old, middle-aged, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're ready. What matters is that you're ready. And how would you know that you're ready? That you love God, that he has loved you, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus has died for your sins, and that you've trusted in him for that, to forgive your sins and to reconcile you to God. If you don't know that, you're not ready to breathe your last. You're not ready to go out of this world, not yet. But I hope and pray, my prayer for you today is that you would be reconciled to God today through his love, through his Savior, that you would hear his voice, that he would teach you, learn you, kind of sinner it is that you are, and that you would see your need of Jesus, and that you would come to him in faith, because that's the only way you can come to him in faith. Only believe, he says. You can believe. All things are possible, even your salvation. Possible. If you can believe, that is. If you can believe. So what would hinder you? What would hinder you? Nothing but your unbelief. Nothing but your heart and hearts and sin. That's all. Only believe, says Jesus. One thing he requires of you. Only. But it's a big, it's a huge only. Only believe. Because it's only faith that reconciles us to God. Not your goodness, not your religion, not your church going, not your praying, not your Bible reading, not your mosque attendance. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but His cross, His dying. Nothing but His rising. Trusting in Him, He who has clearly and definitely conquered sin and death and hell, who died on that cross, was dead and buried, raised again from the dead, now the King of glory, alive forevermore, and with the authority and power to put life into your dead soul today, should you come to Him in faith. But you must come to Him for it. So you must put aside the stubbornness, the obstinacy, put aside your pride, humble yourself under His mighty hand, and bow before that cross, before the King of glory, worship Him, adore Him, love Him, admire His beauty, and put your full blown trust and confidence in Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing of you, nothing of your work, you've got nothing to offer, nothing at all. Jesus and Jesus alone, nothing else and no one else. Hearing God's voice, hearing His call, repent and believe the gospel, taught of God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, yourself included, then knowing, understanding, coming to Jesus and coming to Him for forgiveness, coming to Him for life eternal, life everlasting. The Son of God who loved sinners, sterling sinners, so loved the world that He gave His only Son, gave Him up to this, the death of the cross, the tomb, the rising again from the dead. God so loved you, sterling, that He gave His only Son. What will you do with His Son? What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Pontius Pilate asked the question. I pose it to you today. What will you do with the gift of God? So loved you, immensely loved you, put His love for you above the love of His Son Jesus, gave Him up to the death of the cross, forsook Him, abandoned Him on that cross, so that you might never be God forsaken for all eternity. Be reconciled to God today, sterling sinners. Come to Jesus. You may. He bids you to come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Savior calls. Hear His voice. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, repent ye, repent ye, and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you'd like a copy of God's written word, offered to you freely, I've got Bibles, New Testament, this Gospel of John, offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. Read, study, meditate upon God's work. See what a lovely, wonderful, mighty Savior my Jesus is. And be brought to that place of receiving Him. Got a question? Try and answer. If I can, come with your questions. You want counsel, somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy so to do. But do not forget, God loves you. Christ is dead for your sins, alive from the dead, to give eternal life to you and to reconcile you to God through faith in the name of the Son of God. Whoever believes on the Son shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, sterling. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.